Well, we have a special guest here this morning. It's a real treat to have Pete Gardner here with us. Met Pete and his wife Jolene about a month ago, maybe a little more now. But I don't even remember how it first connected. If you reached out to me or Pastor Curtis, let us know about you. But Pete has undergone a healing, and it's a wonderful story. So I've asked him to share just what God is doing in his life. It's really amazing. And so I wanted him to come and share. Jolene's going to come in a little bit too. So would you give them a warm Algona Faith welcome?
Thank you, Brother Rob. I appreciate Pastor Rob and Anna having us here today. We had a wonderful time visiting with them. And Curtis, we've known Curtis since he was just about yay high. So we go back a long ways with Curtis. We're sorry that he's not here today, but we're thrilled to be with you. And God is good. A couple of people have asked me why I had the mask on and the gloves. You'll find out more about this, but I underwent 2 stem cell transplants, and those things tend to zap your immune system. And so I'm still very susceptible to germs and things like that. And my doctor says, keep them on. Keep them on. Keep yourself protected. So I like to follow the doctor's advice. It's usually a good idea. One of the things that I do is I write songs. And we want to share just a short worship chorus. The worship was beautiful this morning. Thank you for bringing us into the presence of the Lord. I can feel his presence. Can you feel his presence here today? Amen. This little song I wrote back in 2012, it's called We Lift You Up. And I hope that it blesses you. And if you catch on to it, join in with me, okay? As we come, wrong key there. I get started out wrong sometimes. Thank you, Jesus. As we come into your presence and we turn our hearts to you, we put aside our care of earthly things. We have come to seek your kingdom and we long for righteousness. Precious Lord, we've come to glorify your name. We lift you up, we lift you up, we lift you up, O Lord, praise your holy name. We lift you up, we lift you up, come and draw us near to you, we lift you up. As we come into your presence and we turn our hearts to you, we put aside our care of earthly things. We have come to seek your kingdom and we long for righteousness. Precious Lord, we've come to glorify your name. We lift you up, we lift you up, we lift you up, O Lord, and praise your holy name. We lift you up, we lift you up, come and draw us near to you. We lift you up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord. We lift you up. Can you sing it with me? We lift you up. We lift lift you up, O Lord, praise your holy name. We lift you up, we lift you up. Come and draw us near to you, we lift you up. Let's sing that one more time. We lift you up, we lift you up. We lift you up, O Lord, and praise your holy name. We lift you up, we lift you up. Come and draw us near to you, we lift you up. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning, and we thank you that you are here amongst us. We ask you, Lord, to direct this service in your way. Help me to yield myself to you, O Lord, and surrender, as we sang earlier. God, we give you all the glory for what you've done. And I thank you for this opportunity to share with these people, Lord. We ask you to bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We serve a mighty God, don't we? We serve a mighty God, and he has done some amazing things, and I'm thrilled that Pastor Rob and Sister Anna have allowed me to come today. One of the verses that has become real to me recently is Revelation 12:11 that says, "We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony." If some of you were sharing earlier this morning in Sunday school, testimony about what God has done in your lives this week. That's how we overcome. That's not just for heaven. That's for here on earth. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And it's important that we share what God has done in our lives. And that's why I'm here this morning. In December of 2015, I woke up one morning and I thought I was having a heart attack. I never felt anything like it before. My chest was really tight. My arm was hurting. And I told my wife, I said, "We better get to the emergency room." So I wasn't so bad that we had to call an ambulance. And we only live a mile from the emergency room. So she took me in and they gave me nitro and got the pain calmed down. But they found out it wasn't the heart. I actually had pneumonia. And it was just really tight. Well, they kept me in the hospital for just overnight for observation. They got it cleared up and didn't think much of it until a month and a half later I got pneumonia again. This time, much worse. Now, I'd always been pretty healthy. I mean, I had some issues, but, you know, most of the time I was pretty healthy, didn't really think anything of it. But my doctor said, I think I'm going to check this out a little bit further, you know, just to make sure. So he did a CAT scan. And about a week later, he called me into his office. And, you know, when he ran the CAT scan, I asked him, I said, "Are you looking for cancer?" And he said, "Well, actually, we're trying to eliminate cancer." And I said, "Well, that's good. I'd like to eliminate it, too. That'd be great." Took me into his office, and he said, "You know, this is really strange." He said, "I've never had a radiologist do this before." He said, "The radiologist called me about the results, and he said, you're going to see lesions on the bones in this young man, and those lesions are myeloma lesions." Has anybody ever heard of multiple myeloma? It's a form of cancer that infects the blood. It's in your bloodstream. It can affect your bones. It puts lesions on your bones. Many people go through serious back problems, bone problems, kidney problems before they're even diagnosed with multiple myeloma. They don't know what it is, and they go through all kinds of pain and problem and suffering before they even find out that they have this kind of cancer. God was merciful to me. He spared me any pain up to that point. Nothing. And the doctor found it just on a whim. Well, that wasn't conclusive, but it was an indication that there could be cancer there, and they ran a couple more tests. And finally, on March 10th of 2016, The results came back from the bone marrow biopsy that my blood was 63% cancerous. That's pretty high. I was pretty sick, even though I didn't look sick, I didn't feel sick. Well, we went to Mason City, and they had a certain procedure they wanted to do. But the biggest thing was that as we sat in the doctor's office that day and he gave us that diagnosis, there wasn't a worry in my heart, and my wife felt the same way. You know, we know God's in control. We know we're in the palm of his hand. If for some reason he's brought this, allowed this to come into our lives, there's a purpose. There is a purpose. All my life, well, all my Christian life, I've lived on the verse Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And some of you may be familiar with that. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And so my testimony is built around that. It was that verse that brought me to my wife, Janine, 40 years ago. If it wasn't for that verse, who knows whether we would have met or not. And by the way, before I forget, I need to acknowledge her and the wonderful caregiver that she's been through this whole thing. She's had most of the burden piled on her because I've been pretty out of it most of the time. And she's just been amazing. And so I want to make sure that I acknowledge her before I forget to later on. She's been wonderful. We went to Mason City. They had a certain program. They gave you chemo for 6 months, and then you had a stem cell transplant after 6 months. And then we went for a second opinion to Iowa City. Well, Iowa City has a unique program. No place else in the country does what Iowa City does with multiple myeloma patients. They do 2 stem cell transplants in 5 months. And then they do maintenance chemo for 2 years, which I'm still undertaking. That's the mask and the gloves. We decided to go with the more aggressive program at Iowa City because I was pretty healthy. And I could, my body was fairly strong at the time. So we started down there, and we just trusted in the Lord, you know. A lot of times when you come up against a situation like this, the first thing people say to you is, you know, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good, right? Don't you hear that all the time when something tough happens? Well, the key to that verse in my mind is the first 2 words, the first 3 words. We know. We know. We have to know that with all of our knower, that all things work together for good for God. When we know that, we have confidence in him to bring us through. Right? Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what's the result of that? The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you need peace, how's the way to get rid of it? Don't be anxious. Just take your request to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. One of your songs said, in the midst of the storm, I will hold on to you. Amen. How many feel in their lives that God has begun a good work in them? You feel like God's begun a good work in your life? Philippians tells us that he who began a good work is able to complete it. You know, back in 2010, God just started giving me songs. I mean, they started like coming bang, 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 song after song after song after song. You heard one of them today. I got hundreds of songs, thousands of poems that God has flowed through me through his Holy Spirit. He's begun a good work. I have no idea what the outcome of all that's going to be, but I knew he'd begun a good work, and he was going to complete it. He doesn't start something he's not going to finish. That's why we didn't worry. That's why we didn't fret. We knew that God was in it. We trusted in him with all of our heart, like the first part of that verse says. Trusted in him with all of our heart. Well, the second part of that verse says, don't lean to your own understanding. How many, when they get into a big, difficult situation, try to figure it out? I'm going to figure this out, God. I'm going to get the result. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to solve it, and that's all there is to it. You know, they say that men and women shop differently. Don't you know that's why they put the automotive section way in the back of the store? Because men go in for one purpose. They go, I got to get that oil. They go right to the oil, they come right back. The woman goes, looks around, you know. Don't lean to your own understanding. We don't always know what God's doing. When I went through that first stem cell transplant, well, first they did the harvest. I had what they call an analogous stem cell transplant, which means they use my own stem cells. One of the other differences between Mayo and Iowa City was that Mayo was going to take 2 million stem cells. Iowa City was going to take 20 million stem cells. And I thought, you know, the more stem cells they replace, probably the better, I would think. So we were in the harvest, and the first 2 days, they only collected like 7 million. And they needed 20. And we just prayed. We said, God, we don't want to, we would have had to stay the weekend if it had been more. And we didn't want to stay the weekend. So we just prayed. We said, God, you got to do something here. We don't want to stay another weekend down here. We've been down here already too long. And so on Friday, the machines are running away doing the harvest. And they came in and they said, you're going to make it. We got 14 million stem cells on Friday. You know, God came through again. Well, we stayed down there another 2 weeks, recovering from that, and then they did the stem cell transplant, and that's an experience all in itself. It's kind of like a blood transfusion. They just hang these bags and put it in, and I passed out once in the middle of it. My wife was all worried. They were pumping it too fast, and I lost consciousness, but came back pretty quickly. But the other thing that happened was about a week after that, my shoulder went out. I woke up in the morning and had some pain in my shoulder, and I just, this shoulder wouldn't move. I could move from my elbow down, but my shoulder wouldn't move. Nobody knew what it was. I'd had an injury to my shoulder years earlier, and the therapist, physical therapist, thought, well, maybe it's something recurred, you know. So she started me on physical therapy, and we left the hospital on that physical therapy, and I'm going to jump ahead just for a minute. That summer, we went back to check on the shoulder, and they told us it was a thing called Parsonage-Turner syndrome, which they said was a thing that happens, you know, when the brain doesn't communicate with the arm to tell it what to do. Well, we found out later that Parsonage-Turner syndrome was a catch-all phrase that means we have no idea what's going on. So if you ever hear some of those big phrases from your doctor, you know, you might just wonder. The doctors told me that typically in cases like this, there's tremendous amount of pain. I had no pain in my shoulder. In fact, we looked it up online. 83% of patients have pain with that, and I had none. They told me it would be a good 2 to 2.5 years if I got my shoulder use back. If I got my shoulder use back. Now, it's not 100%, but it's awfully close. And I just praise God. You know, he started bringing it back 7 months after, not 2 years. But boy, that first 7 months was tough. You know, just working with an arm down here and having chemo and everything. We can't lean to our own understanding. I didn't understand what God was doing through that. You know, our bodies are living sacrifices to God. We have to present them that way. God, whatever you want to do, I'm yours. I surrender. I love that chorus, by the way. I surrender. We need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And one of the things that God started to do with me is take me through some intense Bible study during that time in the hospital. You know, and I'm sitting there in the hospital all by myself. My wife was there most of the time, but at night it gets kind of lonely and it gets kind of quiet. When I talked about the choruses and the songs that God has given me through the years, you come back up, honey. She's going to play another one. There's one particular chorus that my church happens to really love. And this one, in the middle of the night, when I was all alone in that hospital room during both stem cell transplants, this chorus is probably the one that I sang the most, because through it all, you would hear me say, God has been merciful to me. Over and over again, God has been merciful to me. Well, how can you say that? You're going through cancer. Nah. If we look in the midst of our storms, we see mercy all over if you look for it. And so this song is really special to me, and sometimes I don't make it through, so bear with me. It's called I Want to Thank You, Lord. It's just a little worship chorus. It's, I want to thank you, Lord, for your mercies in my life. I want to thank you, Lord, for your great sacrifice. You have given me your all. Help me give my all to you. I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy in my life. I want to thank you, Lord, for your great sacrifice. You have given me your all. Help me give my all to you. I want to thank you, Lord. You deserve the highest praise. You deserve the highest praise. You deserve the highest praise my heart can give. You know, they'd hear that in the halls of the hospital in the middle of the night. My arms upraised. I just want to thank you, Lord. How can a cancer patient sing that? You know, God is so good. When we set our minds on him, you know, I love, one of the verses that I really love is Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8 says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Where does our thought life reside? Does my thought life reside on the live on the problems that I have, that I'm going through, the struggles? And believe me, this was not easy. I mean, the first stem cell transplant wasn't too bad. I was in the hospital for 21 days. There was 5 days of chemo at the beginning. And then it was just recovery. As my numbers, all the numbers went down to zero. You know, in your blood count, everything goes to zero. That's the goal. And when it gets to zero, then it starts coming back up. So your red blood count, your platelets, everything down to zero, those of you who know about that stuff. And you know, when your numbers get down to zero, you've got zero strength as well. But they still want you to walk the halls and carry your little IV thing around with you, you know. And I did that. But the first one, I went home, and I did get a pneumonia that summer. That's typical. It's not unusual. I got pneumonia again. But I was walking like 3/4 of a mile outside by August. I was doing pretty good. Then I went in for the second transplant. Oh, my goodness. The second transplant. That's when I had to rely on the third part of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which says, in all your ways acknowledge him. In all your ways acknowledge him. You know, God is in everything in our lives. He's so involved in our lives. I don't think we can possibly comprehend how involved God is in our lives. He's always there. And after that second stem cell transplant, I was out of the hospital in 17 days. I was actually out of the hospital quicker. But the recovery time was enormous. For 6 months, I slept upstairs on the futon and used a walker around my house for 3 months because I couldn't get around. Through this all, the only side effect that I had was the neuropathy that's still in my feet. And I don't have any pain. If you know anything about neuropathy, a lot of times it's painful. Mine just, it feels like I'm walking on a couple of big sponges. You know, attach a couple of sponges to the bottom of your feet, and that's kind of what it feels like. I believe, God, that's going to go away. I believe complete healing is on the way. But I still do have that. But that's the only side effect. I didn't get mouth sores. I didn't get nauseous. I didn't get all the other stuff that can go along with chemo. Nothing. God's mercy was there all the way through. He is so good to us. He is so good to us. In all your ways, acknowledge him. The Bible says that I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence come my help. My help comes from the Lord. That's where our help comes from. God is at work in everything that comes our way. Doesn't matter what it is, God is there. God is there to help us through, or God is there to help us overcome, or God is there to encourage us. God is there to strengthen us. I mean, think about it. You know, Joseph was sold into slavery. Moses came up against the Red Sea. Joshua came up against the walls of Jericho. He also came up against the Jordan River. Samson's eyes were put out. Daniel was in the lion's den. Paul was in prison. So was Peter. Did it stop him? No, it didn't stop him. I remember the story about Jesus being in the boat with the disciples, and the boat was all, you know, the storm came up in the Sea of Galilee. It's kind of like, it reminds me of Iowa. You know, the other day we had that flash of tornadoes that went through, and they were all just these pop-up storms. Those are the kind of storms that can happen on the Sea of Galilee. Maybe not quite so violent, but they're nasty storms that just whip up at the spur of the moment, and that's what happened. They're out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. The storm came up, and the disciples got all afraid and said, we're going to die, Jesus. How can you sleep in the bottom of the boat when we're going to die? And Jesus got up and said, oh, ye of little faith. And then what did he do? He just calmed the storm, calmed the waves. Now, Jesus didn't tell them that they had little faith because they didn't step out and calm the storm. He told them they had little faith because they didn't believe they were going to get to the other side. Where's our faith in the midst of a trial or a struggle? Are we thinking, oh me, oh my, God help me? Or are we thinking, hey, I'm going to go to the other side. God's going to take me to the other side. No matter how deep or how difficult this struggle is, and believe me, we had some difficult times. Really difficult times. God's going to bring me through. God's going to bring me through. He knows more about me than I know about myself. Oops, dropped my pen. And I want to share a little bit out of Psalm 139 this morning. Because if you can't take comfort from this, that God knows your situation, you're not listening to what God's saying here. He says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. I got to get this where I can read it a little better. Maybe without my glasses might work better. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but Lord, you know it altogether. He knows every thought and every word that we have. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I'm skipping around a little bit. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. It was just a few years ago that I really caught hold of the fact that God led the nation of Israel through the wilderness for 40 years. You ever really thought about that? I mean, they followed him every step of the way. Cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. God led them through the wilderness. What makes me think that God's not going to lead me through my wilderness? I serve the same God, and he's going to take me through my wilderness as well. Then there's this part, verse 13, that I've loved for a long time. Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast possessed my reins. When I read that, I think of a horse. And I don't ride horses. I rode a horse once, and it about threw me off, and I haven't ridden a horse since. But I've studied about the reins, because this verse captures my heart. I've studied about the reins and how instrumental they are in guiding the horse and steering the horse where it needs to go and getting the horse to be obedient and do what the rider wants it to do. How important the reins are, everything. Well, the feet do some things too, but the reins are so important. Does God possess your reins in your life? The psalmist said, he possesses my reins. He guides me where I need to go. And then this part, just, I don't know if I can use a modern term, it just blows me away. Verse 17 says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, and how great is the sum of them. How precious are your thoughts towards me, O God. Now I know, I can tell by this congregation and the way you worship and some of the testimony that I've heard here, that you love the Lord and that your thoughts are precious toward him, right? You have precious thoughts of God. Have you ever thought about the fact that he has precious thoughts about you? Do you think he'd ever want anything to harm you or come into your life that is not good for you? His thoughts are precious toward you. In fact, there are so many of them that they can't be numbered, those precious thoughts. Now that's something to try to grab your mind around. I mean, God's thinking about think about all the things he has to think about every day. And yet he has precious thoughts toward me. Of all people. Why me? Because he loves me. And he loves you. And he wants what's best for you. Psalm 37, 23, 24 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Though he falls, he shall not be cast down, for the Lord holds up his hands. As we walk through those difficult times, God upholds us. He strengthens us. He keeps us. You know, sometimes we wonder, when we go into a battle like this, I know I did, why God doesn't answer those initial prayers. Why didn't God answer the prayers that said, let this diagnosis be wrong? Let there be no cancer. I mean, lots of people were praying that when the first results started to come in. You know, it's like, we don't want this to happen. We don't want you to have to go through this. So we're just going to pray that God's going to take it away right now. Why didn't God do that? Why did God allow me to go through, well, so far, 2.5 years, chemotherapy and all the stuff that goes along with that? Well, I'll tell you, you know, if I had been healed right away, let's say that it came back and that diagnosis turned out to be wrong. Everybody would have celebrated and said, hey, our prayers worked. You know, it was wrong, but it probably would have been forgotten after 2 or 3 months, maybe 4 months, you know. Nobody would have thought too much of it. But the way it worked out, as slowly but surely, my church and other people around the community of Belmont, where we live, started to see me gaining strength, walking a little further down the street every day, walking without my cane, without my walker, walking into the store, driving back and forth, being able to get up on the platform, start to lead worship again at my church. Little by little, God strengthened me, and through that, the faith in the people of my congregation just went woo, because they could visibly see what God was doing. It wasn't an instantaneous miracle. Would that have been nice? Yeah, it would have spared me a couple of years. But how many people's faith has been increased because of the way God did this? You know, you have to look at the whole picture. And that's not all. I told you earlier about the poems and the songs that God has given to me. I post those on Facebook. I'm the psalmist. There's very few psalmists on Facebook, but I'm one of them. And over again, I get comments. You have no idea how much that encouraged me today. You know, you talked about following the Holy Spirit and what has he done this week in your life. There was one particular one I posted earlier this week that I had several comments from people that said, man, that ministered to me. I needed that today. Now, you don't know how God's going to use you when you speak a word to somebody or you put something out there. But none of this would have been possible or probably would have happened if not for this whole series of events. I'm working on a book. I'm not here to promote it. But God's given me a book to write. Not about this, not about myeloma. It's about prayer, actually. And it's because I found some notes that I wrote 30 years ago down in my basement, tucked away when I was cleaning things out when I was sick. And back then I said I was going to write a book, and I never did it. So now I had time. God gave me the time to do that. And so that's coming together. It's amazing what God can do if we'll just yield ourselves as vessels for him to use. And through this, God has allowed me to be able to yield myself to him as a vessel. And I'm here today to share that with you, that God, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your test, can use you more mightily than you can possibly imagine. You have no idea what God can do through your life in the midst of your hardest battle. So we're going to take some time at the end of the service here, Pastor, if you want the worship team to come back up. We're going to take some time, and I'd love to pray with anybody who would like prayer. If you're going through a struggle, if you're going through a tough time, and you need prayer for your life, I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to encourage you this morning. Because that's what God's all about. He's all about encouragement. He's all about strengthening people, giving them the opportunity to be touched by the Holy Spirit. Will you stand, please? As the worship chorus comes back with a song, I'll let them have the liberty to play what they'd like to play. If you have a need in your life and you'd like prayer, please come down front and give me the opportunity to pray with you. Or if you have a loved one that's maybe going through cancer and they're having a tough time, I'd like to pray for them as well. We all know people going through tremendous struggles. But God can do amazing things in the midst of our deepest battles. And I think he wants to do that through you today. So as they sing, feel free to come. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.